Hello, Aquarius, and welcome to Eye of the Centaur, your 2024 mid-year reading from Planet Waves. I am Eric Francis Coppolino, your friendly neighborhood astrologer, here with a focused look at the astrology of the spring of 2024, which basically falls in a kind of an epicenter of your solar chart or your Aquarius rising chart, if that is what you are. And I am basing most of this discussion on this event. Exciting, isn't it? April 8th, 2024, just coming up in a few weeks from now. And this event includes this conjunction, Moon, Sun, Chiron, exact 1924. Look at that, 1924, that's impossible. Moon, Sun, Chiron, 1924, plus Mercury conjunct Eris within 3 arc minutes at the same exact time. And then these kind of events here, all streaking basically from Aquarius, your sign, out through through Gemini. For you personally, it looks more like this. Aquarius is here, early Gemini, where the action more or less ends, is here. And so it's really more of a trine, about 120 degrees. In the Aquarius incarnation of this reading, we begin with Pluto in your sign. And it is a big deal to have Pluto in your sign or your rising sign, either way, which is likely to be one that you are. It's also a big deal to have Pluto in your seventh place. That's Leos are going to be experiencing that for a while. And the reason it is so vital and valuable and crucial and helpful and necessary for you to have Aquarius coming, Pluto coming through Aquarius, is because Aquarius is the sign of fixed patterns. It is the sign of pattern formation. And it tends, I think, more so than ever in our time of history, when there is so much pattern formation going on, to be a very fast calcification that it never actually can break. It can kind of be crushed and maybe reconstituted in some way, or it can be broken and then something else can come in. But the kinds of calcified patterns associated with Aquarius tend to not be in any way mutable or malleable. And this is a very dangerous situation because it makes it difficult to work with a process of gradual incremental change. And the reality is that unless there's some kind of a heist going on, most change is gradual incremental change. And most change is outside of our ability to regulate it particularly easily. There seem to be this confluence of environmental forces that are only minimally subject to the individual will. And what we have going on now is we are living in this collection of patterns that have accumulated over some very long period of years. We're probably in cumulative calcified patterns at least going back to 9/11, about 23 years, when there was another massive shift in the patterns, and I think the beginning of full digital conditions. And most of the patterns that we are living with and that you are experiencing are the result of the imposition of digital technology on us. They tend to be invisible patterns. Almost all of them are. They are whole environments of services and disservices to which people have largely surrendered their sense of their own reality. And I think a lot of that activity and that pattern making on the cultural level is contained in your sign Aquarius. There's also a lot of that pattern making contained in Aries, and that's more on the individual level. And the two work together. They are a very significant kind of astrological dyad, rarely thought about as such. And for you, it looks a little bit like this. Aquarius here, that's you. And Aries here, where much of your Aquariusness manifests in Aries as being a person whose identity is centered on your ideas, and as a person who values ideas, and as some morph of an individualist and a collectivist. And Aquarius is never quite really sure where it stands on that individualism collective issue, but it's, I think, in many ways largely a factor of figure and ground. And so you are usually figure, but now we're talking about something influencing the ground of your being and the ground of all the social patterns that surround us, which is Pluto entering Aquarius. And we have not even begun to see the changes that we are going to see, though I think that the events of the spring of 2024 are going to give us a clue. And I think that to some extent, the events of 2020 and 21 give us a clue what is happening. Although I must say, as one who had front row seats to that, we need to do a lot better. So you can expect to live in a world that you perceive as changing irrevocably, except that more of what's going on is that you are changing irrevocably and witnessing that in some form in the world, because your ability to perceive is being changed by Pluto's effect on the underlying ground consciousness and pattern of who you are. So as you change, you're going to see the world differently, which is one of the only ways to really see the world differently, because there's a lot of people who see everything the same way no matter where they are, and the kind of change of perception that I'm talking about has to come from within. And all of the houses that are here, whether we're talking Capricorn, which is a very special kind of within for you, it's kind of a veiled dimension in your chart where so much has happened the past 15 years, really even a lot longer than that, all the way out through the end of Taurus, are largely internal spaces in your chart. There's an exception here in the third, a strange exception in the third, because the third has a way of being a portal out of the chart, but its interests are still local. The interests are still close to home. So fourth is home, the third is close to home, the second is a internal evaluation of who you are, and the first is your sense of your own being, and the 12th is a deeply internalized, almost hidden from your own view sense of who you are. I mean, and you don't really even need any planets in the chart. If you're studying the chart just based on the story told by the progression of themes from one house to the next, you will learn a lot of astrology. And hopefully some of this kind of shaping of thought will come across in the next few minutes. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it. So in this kind of striped zone, you've lived with Pluto there for quite a long time, and it was difficult. I mean, it was like having your own internal reality undermined, and in many ways eliminated or transformed. There's nothing you could do about it. It's just happening. And you're experiencing various different kinds of fears and different changes that were very difficult to account for, is all I can say. And then now the main agent, the main mover, the prime mover of that change, Pluto, has now entered Aquarius. And this is compelling you to make decisions. It's compelling you to evaluate your internal environment and your sense of who you are and your external environment, and to get those two things in somewhat closer alignment. Aquarius does not change easily. My dad, Sun in Aquarius, Moon in Aquarius, Mercury in Aquarius, probably a few other things. 83 years old, just bought a house in Florida. He's not moved in 37 years or something. I called him up last night. I said, "Dad, I know you haven't moved since the 1980s. Call me if you need me to come and supervise something or help with something." Like, "Dad, you haven't done this in a while." I'm kind of amazed. That's Pluto in Aquarius. He is feeling the need to make changes of a kind he's never made before. And by the way, this quest of moving to Florida, totally new for him. "I want to be somewhere nice where the weather's warm." Completely new. So what's the equivalent of that for you? What is the personal quest that you feel compelled to make? And look, it could be anything. If my dad Joe can pack up that house in Long Island and move 1,200 miles, anything in this world is possible. Okay, let's talk about self-esteem, self-respect, and self-value. Aquarius has Pisces on the second house. That's not that easy. The second wants a solid, tangible sense of its own reality. You get anything but that from Pisces. And it works to express the idealistic, humanitarian nature of Aquarius. But that's not coming from Aquarius itself. It's coming from what's on the second place of Aquarius, which is Pisces, which is an extension of a description of yourself. And so if you're wondering where your idealistic nature, but also this not fully really being able to connect with something that could honestly be described as self-esteem, that is Pisces on the second place. And it has not been easy having Neptune running through this house. Neptune's now in late Pisces. It's been running through this house since the 2012 era. Remember that? The world was going to end and all that stuff. And all we got was a mass shooting in Connecticut. So it has been very difficult for you to make an assessment of who you are for quite a long time. It has been difficult for you to tangibly comprehend your values. It has been difficult for you to have any objective means of self-evaluation. Evaluation. That's a very important concept of the second is evaluation. And this is a result of Neptune coming through town. And then soon after that, Nessus came through town. Both of these things have a way of clouding the matter, of obscuring one's own sense of responsibility, though Nessus, in its more pointed, lesser accessed quality, wants to really live a life of true, genuine accountability. And that's not easy in our time when basically it is fashionable to blame everyone else for everything. So what now has happened is that last year, your ruling planet, Saturn, arrived in Pisces. And this has hopefully been tremendously stabilizing, but also it is likely to be demanding more changes than Pluto in Aquarius is right now. There is a lot of cleaning up going on with Saturn in Pisces. What is being cleaned up? Well, all kinds of closets need to be cleaned. All kinds of effects of things hidden need to be cleaned. There needs to be a search for the water damage done by Neptune. There needs to be a search for things that were set in motion that need to be interrupted or taken out of motion by Nessus in Pisces. There needs to be some objective means of evaluation that that need to emerge. And Saturn is giving you this. And it may seem like it's calling on you to make sacrifices. I would say that what Saturn is saying that you need to move on from is very likely to be what you need to move on from, and you're not likely to miss it once you have moved on from it. And there will always be a sorting out process where Saturn is involved, and you can take that sorting out process personally and do the deep and searching personal inventory that I think is the very, very best thing about the 12-step program. I believe that's the fourth step, the deep and searching personal inventory. That would be Saturn in Pisces in the second house. And then you work with the results of that. You make that inventory, you go through that sorting out, and then you think, well, what's the basis of my sorting out? Well, the basis of the sorting out might be, that hurts me, I don't need it. That helps me, I'll keep that. I'm not sure about that. Let me set that aside for future reevaluation. That one hurts me. That one hurts me. Ooh, that helps me. We'll keep that. And you make your decisions based on essentially what hurts you and what helps you. This is straight out of a Course in Miracles talking about, well, there's a lot of commentary on the basis for decision, but this is called the period of sorting out. It's covered in the manual for teachers under the development of trust early in the manual for teachers. And it's about understanding the basis of your evaluation. And I think there's really only one basis of evaluation that really makes a difference, and that is, does it harm or does it help? Okay, let's go to the third house. So this is a very important house because what you might feel like you're lacking in second house resources, you are likely to feel a strong bonding and identity with in third house resources. And that is because Aries is more pronounced than Pisces is. It is going to stand out more. It is yang instead of yin. It is masculine instead of feminism. It is fiery instead of watery. And while water always gets its way and will eventually extinguish every fire, fire in the short run stands out. It's more tangible. It's more accessible. In apart from the fact that we can't live without water, it has many, many practical applications that seem obvious. And you have Aries in your third place. And this is simple. You simply count. We start with the reference sign Aries. We go to Pisces, that second. We go to Aries, that third. And then Aries, we know about Aries. It's a fire sign. It's a cardinal sign, et cetera, et cetera. Well, what about the third? We find it in the third. And the third is the house of the local community, local commerce, immediate groups, meaning your immediate neighbors, and a place slightly larger than you know the names of the people in it. And it is also about the house of ideation, one's mental style, one's communication style. And Aries has the quality of being a point in any chart, no matter what the chart is. If it's a personal chart, it's going to be a place where people identify very closely with the activities of that house. There's a lot of self-seeking that goes on wherever Aries appears in the chart, and for you it appears in the third house. And so if you're wondering where your value on ideas and your sense that you are an idea person and these other people are not really quite idea people, which is probably true. There's not that many idea people. And if you're a really intense one and have unlimited, boundless creativity, shoot me an email. Let's talk. But in the most ordinary sense, Aquarius is affiliated with, identified with its ideation about life. Your ideas matter to you. And that's the power of Aries on the third place. Okay. Well, I consider the all things affected by Aries, which now for you is your house of ideas, mentality, and communication style, have been powerfully influenced by strongly affected by a de-individuating influence. So we have Aries, the sign of the ardent individual. That's the contrarian side of Aquarius, right? Aquarius can be highly conformist, but there's a contrarian side to Aries that says, meh, but not me, not interested, or goes against for the sake of going against, so forth and so on. Well, the contrarian side attribute of Aquarius has been radically tribalized by electrical and digital influences. And so this has made it more difficult for you to stand out within your own awareness as an individual person with individual ideas, because there's so much pressure to let go of those things and to think that you're doing it, but then not really be standing on your own. There's always been extreme punishment, menacing and threat for those who break the consensus of the tribe and so on and so on. And it takes some guts. Now, fortunately, you have Chiron in Aries right now. That's been since 2018. It's going to be there for a few more years. And not only do you have Chiron in Aries, remember, this is in the third, your house of ideas, ideation, where you seek yourself, find yourself, contains your self-concept. It contains your ability to relate and communicate to others, your ability to buy and sell and conduct commerce. Very slight extensions of one's own personal private reality. It's the next step out from one's private and personal reality. And look at all this that's going to happen. That is happening. Chiron's there. The node's there. Eris is there. The sun's on its way. Sun's next stop is Aries. Mercury's going to get out to there and go retrograde. And this is like big, big awakening. And what you may awaken to is, wow, how did I not know that? How did I not know that about myself? How did I miss that thing about myself? Well, this is a big awakening to who you are. And one of the concepts here is, there's someplace in A Course in Miracles, I'm not sure where it says this, but I love this idea. It says, you know, you may be thinking that this is all just a bunch of ideas. However, have you considered that you are an idea? And this would be the message of a total solar eclipse conjunct Chiron in Aries, in this place where you are deciding who you are and what you're worth. Now, the thing I somewhat glossed over here is that if you're using the third as a substitute for the second, because of its mercantile qualities, you may have a sense that your self-esteem needs a foundation on how you succeed as a merchant, whatever you're selling. But the truth remains that your self-esteem, your sense of value, your true principles are based in Pisces. You, in other words, before you get to the third, you might want to backtrack and go to the second and really take on board and make peace with and make friends with the extent of your idealism and the extent of your deep personal need to help others and to be available for them and to teach compassion by being compassionate before you get involved in ideation and selling and in any way persuading anyone of anything In the second, you're much more vulnerable, and there is much more of a soul-searching quality to Pisces that is easy to externalize with Aries. So when you notice you're externalizing something, a value, an activity, a thought, an idea, take it back one step and ask yourself, well, what is the internal correspondence of this? What's really going on with me that I would say, think, do, or want that kind of thing? So that is the ever ruminant nature of Pisces. But Saturn is giving you a leg up on this, and Saturn is saying, your ruling planet is in Pisces right now, in your second place. And that is about getting clear about your principles and giving them some tangible form that you can work with and express and build upon. Okay, so that covers a bunch of houses. Let's look at the fourth place. Now, this is an interesting event to be happening in your fourth place. The fourth is one sense of security and stability in any chart, whether it grants that or not. You have Taurus on the fourth, and this is meaning it's just four signs from Aquarius, whatever reference point we're looking at in Aquarius, sun sign, moon sign, rising sign, Chiron sign, all of that, the reference place is Aquarius. The fourth place from the reference place is Taurus, and that is suggesting that in whatever the question or the matter is, you want a solid foundation. This solid, stable, natural foundation, which basically throws all of the Aquarius likes weird things and gadgets and wires, and yes, I know I have an Aquarius moon, and I'm coming to you from the seat in my one of my studio broadcast areas. That's what I do. None of this crap's in my bedroom. I think there's an aside for Aquarius that wants to live in the woods in a cabin and maybe see what it's like to go for 6 months without a Wi-Fi connection. And then, that, you know, that's going to be some kind of like a you know, thing you get when you win the Hunger Games is you get to go back to having a telephone that you can pick up and dial with your fingers, or maybe smoke signals. There's something here about a shift in your security base. There's something here about making radical changes to your entire concept of home and your entire concept of personal private security. There is also something about this is an opening. So to have Jupiter, the biggest planet in your fourth, that's about an expansion. You've had Uranus there now going back 5 years, and this has been in many ways a destabilizing factor. It is likely that sometime in the last 5 years, you made a change of something that goes back decades, that was not yielding. And the first sign of the need to change, shift, grow, and evolve in this yet another deeply interior space has come through Uranus in Taurus. Now the two are going to be together. So there is going to be some alchemical change to your domestic environment, your entire sense of security and grounding and belonging on the planet, as well as your process of drawing wealth up from the earth. Taurus is kind of a natural reservoir of where we keep resources. It's kind of the And so too is the fourth. I mean, the squirrels are all burying their acorns in the fourth house, and then trees grow. So there is some acorn planted in the past that is coming to radical fruition over the next few months, and it is kind of going to flourish, and then is going to all move on, right? So you can embrace this moment of flourishing while it's happening. and really get with it and be with it and stay with yourself. Stay with yourself for this process. It is very probable that this is going to manifest in some sudden, almost instantaneously discovered need to express yourself in a way that you haven't had, or to take some kind of risk about which you have traditionally been very averse to taking risks. I would say Aquarius is one of the more risk-averse signs because of its orientation on stability, and is a kind of a conservative quality to Aquarius that is not the love and light version we get on the Broadway show, but rather a deep need to know things are going to be the way that they were. But there's a constant vibration of change going on in Aquarius. And so that's where you want to sink your roots into Taurus and have something, let's say, greater than yourself that is stable, greater than yourself that is stable. And then this allows you to take the risks and take the chances of whatever is coming to your fifth house. And the fifth, where the very edge is activated, is Gemini, and this is your art studio. This is where you conduct all the real active, bold experiments. It's where you take the risks that you are generally averse to. And so there is some kind of establishment of something new going on. I mean, I think this is a very important moment of radical discontinuity in your life, and something about forgetting who you thought you were and all those ideas you had about yourself kind of falling off, and then you landing in a place where it is much more natural to express yourself as who you are from a much more interior, stable place, state of consciousness. And from there, I don't know what this creative risk is. I have, as many people will hear this reading, but there is something that's likely been calling you for a long time that you are waiting for your chance to do, to create, to make, to express, or to become. And my sense is that based on the sequence of events that are going to be basically, I think, set in motion with the Pisces new moon, you will find out what that is. And the essence of this, though, is is genuinely expressing yourself from who you're discovering that you are, not who you thought you were, and going beyond any ordinary sense of limitation, and the idea that, well, that kind of thing would have been way too risky in the past, and I'm just going to do this now. All right, that is what I have to say. I look forward to meeting you back around in some other sign, rising sign, if it's not Aquarius, or somewhere else. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your support and love and your trust. Bye for now.